This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Bullshit. Get my fucking Hawaiian double cheese pizza, and that's the end of it.
Fuck that.
Fuck double that? Cheese.
Double cheese. Who's got money for that? Jesus Christ. I'm trying to buy fucking expeditions here. Who's got money for double cheese?
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
Anything that costs a shit ton of mana, you're just like, bang! And they're like, fuck.
How does that go?
Bang! Fuck!
Jay Boosh.
And that's like the hyper angle. I never want to play in another GP again. I never want to play in another GP.
And Jeremy.
And you're the reason I play Magic today. I die. I die. I was like just melting on the inside like that. I have inspired this kid to play Magic.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 252 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT with my lovely co-hosts, Jay motherfucking Booch.
Fuck!
And Jeremy Scumbag Schofield.
Episode
How's it going? Fuck. Episode fuck.
It's good,
episode or episode fuck. Prodigal Son. Apparently Avery's been getting a lot of shit and he hates it that the guys at Belleville just keep giving him a hard time over that name. I'm sorry, Avery. I'm sorry.
What name?
It's the Prodigal Son.
Yeah, the Prodigal Son.
You started that shit.
Yeah. Look, the way I see it is that all we've done is created a reputation for him. Now it's on him to maintain it.
Yeah, that's how names work. Like, you think every guy named Smith or Jones wants to be called Smitty or Jonesy? No. Nobody likes being called Jonesy, Avery. So nut up or shut up.
Yeah, Avery, you got it in you, buddy. You just have to be awesome. Own it.
Own it or moan it.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank all our A-Team listeners for leaving a lot of comments. Special shout-outs to our guests for the past two episodes. The content started the contest, and that got a bunch of comments coming in. And we got a lot of requests. Especially some call-outs
yeah.
at you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Especially at you for not providing lists to the A-Team Army.
Hey, you know, every now and then I put them on the Twitter thing, but honestly, right now I'm trying to figure out if there is a tool that lets me take deck lists out of MTGO, put them on the internet without me having to really do anything. If that exists, I'll gladly do it. But that's the part. I don't really want to do anything. I don't have enough time to play Magic, let alone be inputting decks onto something that doesn't let me play Magic. So I'm looking at this tapped out thing. If there's a way that I can just import or export out of Magic Online, we'll do it that way. Otherwise, sucks to be you, Internet.
So what do you have right now? You have the Magic Online file?
Well, I have Magic Online, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to turn on Magic Online. I might robot because I can't do two things at once on the Internet, really. Let's see. Now if I go to collection, is there an export feature?
There is an export feature. So
I remember there
we're
going
to figure this out.
Yeah, because there used to be one on the old Magic Online, but I don't know on the new Magic Online if you can export deck lists.
I'm pretty sure there still is that I'm pretty sure I've done that recently. So
okay, excellent.
I'm gonna help you out like after the show or whatever, and our guests. Not our guests, our lovely listeners.
Our guests, every week they sit down to listen to us talk Magic. They're our guests.
That's how important they are to us. They're one of us.
Export. Okay, export. Look at that. Magic Online deck format. Okay. I'm getting somewhere.
Yeah. We're having Dan Lantier as our guest tonight for a bit.
Who's that?
Mr. GP two for Quebec. Two.
Yeah, GP Quebec City champion. He also won GP Vancouver, so he's 2 for 2. His conversion rate is 100%. Someone that I've been touting for a long time as one of the strongest players in Ottawa.
He's one of the strongest players there in the country. He's in the top.
In the country. And former national champion.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're just going to...
Come on, man.
Call him right up. So now we got Dan Lantier on the call with us.
I love how you just raw dog right into it. You're so awesome.
Yo, fuck off, dude.
No, man.
lay off me, man.
I ain't.
I think we only had Dan on the show when I was over at his place testing for PT Vancouver. Is that right, Dan?
It's correct. And not... It's not like I had, you know, nothing to do with it. Like, I've been asking you every single week, I think, at this point, just to get on a podcast. And it seems like, at this point, you set the bar at, I need to win a GP just to get on.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that seems like no problem.
When's the next Canadian one coming?
That's a good question.
Oh, man, you wanted me to start a new podcast. That's totally different.
I mean, I would settle for either, I think, at this point. You're starving me.
You get to guest on a show that I've done 252 times.
Oh, that's too much. See, if we start a podcast that ended at like 50.
Right? I've been absent for a small stretch. So, Dan, you had won GP Vancouver. Right after, I love the called shot, right after Pascal had won a GP, you're just like, well, I'm just going to do it and just fly to Vancouver and win that thing. And I think you were super motivated to win that. And here, we're hearing some rumors amongst friends, and I guess I got the vibe from you that maybe you're slowly on your way out of the game. Is that, there's there any truth to that?
Yes and no. Like, I'm sort of, I'm definitely slowing down. Like, I'm not playing as much as I used to. And I think the part of that is because, like, as a silver level player, I can't play, like, PPTQs, for instance, so I don't get a chance to play on weekends anymore. So I've been finding, like, when I go to Pro Tours, when I go to GPs, I'm just sort of, like, I have to start from scratch. I don't have a chance to sort of hit the ground running anymore, and it just sort of, it feels like a drag, but I don't know. I was definitely super motivated this weekend, being that, you know, it was falling on my birthday, and it was right after the Pro Tour where I didn't do extremely well, and I knew that I had better to give, and yeah.
So tell us what you played at the Pro Tour and what led you to... ultimately choosing Dark Jeskai at the GP?
Well, I settled for Mono Red at the Pro Tour. I think we all had a consensus opinion that it would be very expected. It would sort of be just like the level one deck. There wouldn't be too much surprise factor to it. But it was performing very well in testing, and I enjoyed the deck overall. It just didn't sort of pan out as the Pro Tour went on. Whether it be from bad luck or bad play, probably a good, healthy combination of both of them. During the Pro Tour, I got thoroughly thrashed by John Finkel in one of my rounds. And I just sort of like watched his progress, no one's progress, over the course of the entire tournament. I was just extremely impressed with the Jeskai deck that they come up with, the one that splashes black. And I mean, I didn't do any testing during the week after the Pro Tour, but I like... It really felt to me like there was nothing else in the format that was really comparing to the power level that this deck was capable of achieving. And it just felt like there's nothing that it couldn't do. There was no deck that it couldn't, you know, perform very well against. You know, it had all the answers, had whatever answer you needed for any given situation. You could sort of customize it as you want. It's four colors. You know, there's not a whole lot that, you know, you can't do with it. So I picked it up and played a few games on Friday. I felt really comfortable with it, made a few changes, nothing drastic, but just a few things that I felt the deck needed, given how I expected the format to sort of switch up, and just ran with it.
And just to be sure, for the PT, you played a mono red like straight mono red deck that none of the stuff that everyone's currently on, right? With the Atarka Landfall or whatever.
Yeah, like, no, it was just play. Straight mono red. There was nothing exciting about it at all. Okay. nothing.
So the changes you made were based on your small limited testing. So run us through quickly through the tournament. Did you feel any matchups were poor? I know in your short, small interview with me that I just posted on the article on Mana Deprive, you mentioned that you weren't prepared for the you didn't have like as many cards for the mirror, but you had to expect that people were gonna gravitate towards this list, right?
I did, but I like again. I hadn't played very many games with it. I just sort of got a rough feel for how the deck played out. And I mean, I've had a lot of experience with other Jeskai lists and other tempo control lists over the years, so I sort of knew roughly what I was getting into. But I guess I really didn't anticipate how people would just overhaul how they approach the mirror. I think like Lucas Sia and his guys. They were boarding in several copies of Master of the Unseen. They were even going as far as to board in Ugin, just to sort of dominate the mirror and take on a control role. And it just wasn't something that I was equipped to deal with. I mean, luckily I sort of developed a sideboard plan on the fly. I figured out how they were attacking me and how I wanted to like respond. And then, you know, it worked out, but I think that like, that's not going to cut it in the future. I think that in future group Grand Prix, you're going to have to adapt more.
Mm. So was his logic basically in the mirror, you just try to trump over the fact that, you know, Ugin can't be countered by Ojutai's command, then Ugin, you can just remove Jace's outcasts, all their dragons, and things like that? Was that
Ugin was viewed? I think he anticipated, just like I did, that Disdainful Stroke was probably going to be on its way out for this weekend or see limited play. And just based on how the mirrors play out, like the deck is capable of just generating so much card advantage and just grinding out, you know, any given match that he really took that to the next level and was playing threats that were difficult to answer with a lot of the main, you know, counter spells that the deck has, be it the spells and Ojutai's command and whatnot, and just found a way to sort of just, you know, eke out even smaller advantages and just prolong the games and just grind the opponent out, even, you know, generating massive card advantage with something like Mastery Unseen, which you know, the rest of the deck is not capable of keeping up with. And so my initial plan for the mirror was to board out some number of Mantis Riders and just become the control role by boarding in Exert Influence and other similar cards just to sort of fight the creature battle that way. But that does not match up well against Ugin's and Mastery Unseen for obvious reasons. So I, as you probably saw in the top eight when I was facing Omar, I left all my Mantis Riders in and I played very aggressive with my counter spells, trying to get as much damage in as fast as I could, and just stop him from getting to the point where he could draw out the game with Master of the Unseen.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So throughout the tournament, what else you mentioned? Did you actually face the ramp deck, or you just feel based on theory that might be difficult?
Yeah, no, I hadn't faced it, and literally all I know, because I haven't even seen it play, all I know is that I think John Stern played it for the tournament. He felt it was a reasonably good choice because in his limited sample size, the deck was beating Jeskai in testing. And I mean, honestly, I can see how that could be the case. And I think that Jake Mondello, one of the other top eight members, probably proved that over the course of the tournament. He was undefeated or near the top of the standings pretty much the entire weekend. And I don't think that he could have done that without just thrashing Jeskai. The deck is capable of ramping up very fast, playing a lot of very difficult cards to answer. It's got four copies of Ugin, three copies of Willemog, which, while it, you know, does get stopped by Ojutai's command, it does still exile two permanents and does, you know, really go over the top of everything the deck is doing. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Jotty Offshoot with all the ramp spells provides a very bit large buffer of life that the deck can just sort of absorb hits from Mantis Rider and just prolong the game as long as it, you know, possibly can.
Okay. So what did you ultimately lose to? What were your few losses over the course of the tournament? Did you only lose once?
No, I lost three times.
Three times to what?
The mirror, and the mirror.
Sounds consistent.
It's very consistent. Like I told you, I was not well equipped to fight the mirror, so I had to sort of make things up as I went along.
Oh, so I can't imagine you were that confident, unless you were beating the mirror as well during the Swiss, that you had to face it, I think, twice, right, in the top eight? Or all
I
did. Time?
No, I faced it in the semis and the finals.
Yeah.
At every point in the last probably five or six rounds of the entire event, too, I had no hope going into each round. I just started taking it round by round, just because I was not performing well in the mirror. I knew that I had to adapt the way I was sideboarding, adapt the way I was playing, because obviously whatever I was doing was not working. I guess you can say it worked out. I just had to get my ass kicked a couple times.
Jeremy, you caught a bit of the coverage. What did you end up watching? Were you able to catch up on?
I did not get to watch any of Dan's matches. Just tried to like jam some games. I managed to actually get home for the weekend, which was nice. Work told me that they didn't need me through the weekend, so I went home and saw the wife and the kids, so that was great. Didn't get out to play any cards, though, because I had like a birthday thing on Friday night. But when I did get to sit down and watch, like, I tried to watch a match of the Blue-Black Aristocrats. I watched some very, very entertainingly boring four-color... what is that stupid thing called? What was Pascal playing? What's that card called?
Oh, the Rally of the Ancestors deck?
Yeah, Rally of the Ancestor decks, where it's like four color versus Abzan Rally of the Ancestors.
Yeah, don't even ask me how that works.
Yeah, it's,
I have no idea.
It's the closest thing to eggs that I could see, so it was kind of entertaining.
Did you catch the Twitter flames? Like, some people were just saying how boring it was to watch Pascal because apparently he was tanking like crazy in the top eight match or something.
I did not get to watch too much of that. I was bouncing in between things. When that was on, my buddy had come over and we were playing that Just Keep Talking game, the bomb diffusing game. I don't know if you've seen anything about that on Steam.
No, but Worth and Mike Turian like to play it a lot.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
That game looks wild.
It is. It is. It is so
it
good.
Does. It looks wild.
Yeah.
There's no way I could do it.
Have you heard anything about this, KYT?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
you need to look it up.
Okay, so one person has a screen in front of them. They're the sapper. In front of them, they've got a bomb. It's a very, very simple bomb. It's got a bunch of different little puzzles on the bomb. The way to solve those puzzles is inside of a book, or you can get it on a web screen that the other person gets. So there's the expert, and there's the sapper. The expert can be a group of people, but the sapper is a one-person job, and they're the only one who get to look at the bomb. So the way we had it set up is I was sitting at the end of the table with the screen facing me. My buddy Nick was on the other side of the screen with the book, and a couple other people are hanging around. And I would be like, okay, I've got a yellow button that says hold on it. And he's like, okay, does it have this many batteries on the bomb? Is there an odd number for the last number, the serial number? Okay, hold down the button. Okay, well, it just flashed red at me. Okay, well, release it when any of the numbers say five or something like that. Like, it's got a bunch of those types of things. And inside the book, it tells them how to disarm the bomb, but you've only got so much time and you can only screw up so many times. And
wow.
It blows up.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm starting to recognize like Morse code, because Morse code is very hard to do on the bomb, but we did it for about 7 hours straight.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm starting to pick up certain things where it's like looking at the Morse code. I'm not saying dot, 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 dash, whatever like that. It's like it's ST something. I don't know what the other characters are, but it starts with an ST. What have I got?
Wow. You're like a bomb defusing master.
It's getting there. But the nice thing about it is that like, it's a game that I can play online with people also. Like, I could call up my buddy Nick on Skype and we could play the game because it's just that simple. It doesn't require two people to have, you know, the game or anything like that. It's one person and one person with internet access or even a paper printed out copy.
Yeah. Is that what the book is? Just something you print out?
Yeah. It's just a printout.
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty entertaining. It's a lot of fun. Some of the bombs are really crazy. There's an alarm clock in the room with you and the bomb, which drives people insane because like the alarm will just start going off. So you have to put down the bomb, pick up the thing, hit the snooze button, and go back to the bomb.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did a lot of that. We watched some Magic. I got to play some drafts. I kind of like what's going on with Standard. Like, the Dark Jeskai deck just looks like Jund. You know, it's 2-for-1 city, 2-for-1, 2-for-1, just win. Like, really good cards, so. And Mantis Rider just seems nutty right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I am hesitant to pick it up on Magic Online because I really just don't want to dump that much money into Jace's. So all I've been doing is grinding core set drafts, trying to get Jace's Hangar Back Walkers. And whatever else I need, because
he's laughing at you, man.
Can we just talk more about the bomb game?
Yeah, let's go back to the bomb game. The bomb game's fucking nuts.
Dan derailing the show.
No, it's great. Like, we're sitting there and you're playing through it.
That's not derailing the bomb. Like, I honestly think your listeners will want to hear about this game.
Yeah, KYD, shut up. This is an episode. Fuck.
Okay, so one of the games they got, or one of the challenges on it, is they got a game called Who's On First. It's one of the puzzles on it, the piece on the bomb. And the bomb has a screen at the top, and it has 6 words. But all the words are like, right, wait, uh-oh, okay.
I thought they were like, fuck. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all words that you would use to try and describe what's going on, so it's like, really like, the word is okay, yeah, or
oh my god.
Left,
if you say
right,
the word, die?
No, you don't, it doesn't care what you say, but what'll happen is you get a green screen at the top that displays a word, so I have to tell that word to the expert. Then the expert has to tell me one of the 6 buttons that are on there that I can press, he has to ask me what the word is on there, so he'll be like, well, what's the bottom left say? Left. Then from there, he's got a list, and it's got like 20 words on it, and you have to click the word that shows up on the list first. So he'll start reading off left, right, middle, uh-huh, okay, yes, no, you are. But you are will be like your. It'll be like all 3 different types of your. You will be Y-O-U, or it'll be the letter U. You are will be the word you are, or it'll be you are.
I feel like it's a game that I have to play to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's all these, like, screwed up words, and, like, you're sitting there just waiting for him to say something. I'm, like, looking at the bomb, and it's, like, 3, 2, 1, and he finally says the button. I hit the button, and all of a sudden, it's, like, oh, you just stopped the bomb with 0.5 seconds on the clock. And it's, like, yeah, you know, but it's got, like, this, like, crazy, like, holy crap feeling to it. And it's great, because every time I blew up, my buddy would just start laughing, because he's just, like, I can only imagine, like, you're sitting there, somebody calls you on the phone, you're trying to walk him through this. They blow up, you're like, get a sip of coffee and keep going. Like,
okay, enough. Let's talk about Mantis Rider and Jace.
Yeah,
Mantis Rider and Jace.
Riding, man. Wow. Yeah.
Dan's running the show now.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Dance, Jeremy!
Dance!
Magic dance.
I'm not going to ask him to dance because I can't see it, and I really want to.
Let's see. Do we have a video thing? No, we got to do another video podcast thing. Because, like, really, that's all I need for my bandwidth up in BoonieNet, is to add in some video. Okay, I managed to put one of the decks on the internet, so one of the terrible decks is on there, so I'll figure out a way for Kyle to do that thing to make it so people can see it.
Oh, just email it to me.
Well, fuck, that's even harder. Us. That's even harder,
what?
Bro.
We're just... Okay. Dan, I did want to ask your opinion on your matchup against... Abzan Aggro, because as Grand Prix Quebec City was taking place, the Mox was also taking place, and it was won by Abzan Aggro, very close to what the PT champion had played. And I think from scanning the top 16 of the Mox, it was littered with versions, just very close variants to Abzan Aggro, whereas Quebec City was obviously filled with Dark Jeskai, or Jeskai Black, or whatever. So what's your take on that particular heads-up matchup?
Well, I'm going to need to look up a deck list right now. I faced Abzan in similar green-white decks quite often, actually. Most of my Friday night was spent testing against several decks that did, you know, look somewhat like that. I don't think the matchup's bad. They don't have a whole lot of good ways to really pressure you beyond Wingmate Rock. I think Wingmate Rock might be their best card Most of my experience was probably due to the mirror. I think I probably faced the mirror 7 or 8 times throughout the entire tournament.
Wow.
I think I faced Abzan maybe 0 times during the Swiss.
Did you face, like, ban tokens?
I did. Or... I faced ban tokens, but my opponent got horribly mana screwed, so I really didn't get a good indication of how bad the matchup is, but I suspect it's not good. I had a copy of Felidar Cub and a copy of Virulent Plague in my sideboard, which I assumed would be enough, but I have reason to believe that that might not be the case. The night before, I was trying to sneak in a second copy of Felidar Cub, mainly for that matchup, and because I did anticipate that people would probably be bringing in some quantity of Master of the Unseen against me in several matchups, so I wanted access to more of that effect, but I just couldn't find a spot where I'd be confident sticking that a second copy of the card.
So what other decks were you actually shredding, like variants of Atarka Red outside of the mirror?
Throughout the Swiss?
Yeah, yeah.
The only red player I faced was in the final round playing for top 8. The most of my tournament was Esper Dragons, Esper Control, Jeskai Black, Mirror Matches, Green-White Megamorph. I faced the Bant Tokens. I faced a Red-Black Dragon deck. Just a lot of stuff like that. I faced Abzan the night before, like I said, but I really didn't get a good impression of how good or bad the matchup is. Like I said, I didn't necessarily feel threatened by any one of their threats having access to cards like Crackling Doom and Roast of the sideboard. I had a copy of Sarkhan. It was just really hard for them to build a board position when I was just 2-for-1-ing at every opportunity and attacking with Mantis Riders. But it did become a little threatening when they were able to stick a threat and even just like chip in damage with a random throwaway creature that they could just then drop a Wingmate Rock. If I wasn't representing something like Oju Dai's Command, and then they would, at that point, they would just control the sky, and I couldn't get in with Mantis Rider, and it would just sort of be a pain, which is why I think I was talking to you a lot throughout the tournament, basically telling you how awesome Exert Influence was for me. And it was mostly right. Just because I could completely take the pressure off me at any point, take an Enofenza from them, take a Siege Rhino from them, and all of a sudden, I'd be ahead with, a Mantis Rider. I'd have 2+ threats to their 0, and they couldn't put down a Wingmate Rock for value and start to take control like they normally would. Yeah, it just sort of, it's one of those get ahead, stay ahead sort of cards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners a quick summary of how I did. Justin Richardson and I, we played... Jay Rich, who's representing Canada at the upcoming World Magic Cup. We both played the exact same 75 Abzan aggro. We didn't really, because it's something I've played with in the past, and it's not something that I needed to learn. I felt Dark Jeskai was out of my wheelhouse, unless I actually had a good week of practice with
it. No, it's too hard for you.
Okay, it's too hard for me, so... We didn't tweak too much from the Pro Tour Champions list, like maybe a few changes, like 2 or 3 cards off. But what we learned was, like, after the PT, a lot of competitive players and even casuals were excited about, how Gideon was, it wasn't in Dark Jeskai, but was it in a lot of decks, like Bant Tokens, 4 copies in Sam Black's deck. Yeah, it saw 4 copies in various green-white Megamorph decks. The top placing green white deck, I actually opted to play Archangel instead of it, but for the most part, a lot of people were excited for Gideon and heading into the GP. Like, even at face to face games, we were running low, like, we were just buying him, and the price of it was going up and up. But throughout the course of the tournament, me and Jay Rich really felt like hangar back walkers and Gideon were disappointing. Gideon's just really strong in a vacuum, but in this particular format where you're facing against Dark Jeskai, and I think Dan alluded to it, there's just so many ways to deal with it. Like, you make a guy, and if the Jeskai player goes Crackling Doom, Sacred Guy, tutor Gideon, and then untap Mantis Rider, kill Gideon. There's just so many ways to deal with it that it just felt so bad to spend four mana to do that. And sometimes when you're just behind, when they already have a Mantis Rider, having like tapping out for a Gideon just felt really, really awful. Like, it just never felt like the correct play. So I was very unimpressed with Gideon and Hangerback Walker based on where the metagame is going right now. I mean, Hangerback just, the Jeskai deck can usually just ignore it and go to the air. And, you know, even in the mirror, I was against someone and he had two Hangerbacks. He was making him like six sixes, eight eights, but like, they didn't really matter. I just jump on the ground and kill him with Wingmate Rocks in the air. So that's been my impression, despite like the amount of hype and the amount that the price, even on online, Gideons are going for crazy amount of tickets. That's been my impression. I'm not sure if you faced that much Gideon, Dan.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. My next question was going to be how you felt about Gideon's power level, because I do feel similarly. I do feel like there's a lot of hype surrounding the card, but I think that the way the format has sort of evolved, he's not, he doesn't fit the bill for what he's been hyped up to be. I will say, however, that Hangerback Walker I did find reasonably annoying in those matchups, just based on the fact that like they would often, the size of the Hangerback would often scale with their threats, and it made it very difficult to Crackling Doom them for value.
Okay.
That was probably about the most use that my opponents got out of their Hangerback Walkers this weekend, was when I wasn't able to deal with it in a timely enough fashion, and it would grow to a 3-3 when they have a Warden of the first tree out, and it would grow to a 4-4 when they have an Offensa. And there was just no good way for me to attack their threats. So it wasn't necessarily that Hangerback was a threat in and of itself. It stopped me from being able to execute on my game plan.
All right.
I did face Gideon a couple times, and he never lasted more than a turn. Like you said, I would just Crackling Doom, take out the token, deal two damage to the Gideon, untap, and usually just Mantis Rider it immediately.
Right, or even Colgan's Command. Like, you have so many ways to deal with it.
I mean, Sarkhan even ate a Gideon at one point.
Yeah. Right. The only time I felt like I liked it was when the Jeskai player was projecting that they had Ojutai's Command with four mana up, and that I could play, and that was like roughly all that he had, and I could slam a Gideon and win that tempo where they would just like, oh fuck, I thought you were gonna play a creature. But that was about the only situation where it felt really good, where I could play certain threats and just sculpt the game plan in a way where he felt, you know, he had to keep Ojutai's Command, and then I slammed that and win a lot of tempo with that turn. But outside of that, it was largely unimpressive.
Yeah, that definitely happened to me Friday night when I was playing, where I had just cleared the board of threats, and I passed the turn with Ojutai's Command open, expecting to just counter the Siege Rhino that came down afterwards or what have you. And then Gideon came down, and I had to quickly find an answer. Because I mean, we're making a point of saying Gideon's not fitting the bill, but believe me, when he's not answered, that guy can end games in a hurry.
Yeah. So those percentage of scenarios, that exact scenario, it did come out throughout the course of the tournament and the Super Series that I played in. So, I mean, I'm not sure what the right number is, but it was also really awkward to have in hand when you were behind. When you're behind, it's just like, I just can't find a way to cast it, and if my opponent actually has the one Sarkhan in his hand, I'm just totally getting owned here.
So. Well, I think it depends on how you're behind. I think if you're behind in the air, then it's really tough to play it for value. But I mean, if your opponent is sitting with, you know, let's say the mirror, and they have a Hangerback Walker or an Anafenza, you deploy Gideon, he defends himself very well, and he does set you up in a position where you can stabilize the board and sort of get ahead with him. But yeah, no, I agree with everything else you said.
Okay. Do we have anything else for Dan, guys?
Dan, who are you going to play with at the Pro Tour?
That's a good question. Pro Tour's not for a while. I don't expect to make that decision anytime soon. But it would be nice to make a bid to get back with face-to-face after this this time away.
Two-time GP champ on the resume.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I saw was that somebody commenting that the trophy was at least legible this time. What's the story with that?
So when I won GP Vancouver, they didn't have the trophy on site for me.
Oh, okay.
It got stuck at customs or something is the story that I was told. And I had to wait probably about 2 months to receive it. And when I got it, it wasn't engraved or even painted. It was just, it was like there was a sandpaper finish on it, where it was just sort of like, just sort of raised text off the granite. And, really? And you couldn't,
I've seen it. It's really bad.
Yeah, and you couldn't see the text from more than like 2 feet away.
Wow.
And most people that have me on Facebook were made aware of this because I was sure to post pictures, and it was pretty embarrassing. But I did get Wizards to make a new one for me. Yeah, I'm that high maintenance.
Typical Dan. Oh, yeah, this trophy that I won, it sucks. I would like a new trophy.
Well, I was willing to live with it until I saw Alex's when he won in Krakow, and it was a new series, I guess, that they were producing that were engraved and they were painted, and they looked really nice. So I requested, I didn't demand, but I requested that I get a new one, and they were more than happy to help me out.
How do you go about a request like that? Like you just said, like
Premier Play, like the Premier Play department has an email contact address that you can email them and ask questions, and they're usually pretty good at responding. Usually it has to do with like payroll for like prize winnings and stuff, but basically anything regarding competitive play they'll handle.
Right on.
Is there anyone you want to thank?
Me?
Yeah. Anyone you want to shout out?
I'd like to thank my beautiful parents for birthing me.
There you go.
For rearing you
on the same day that Grand Prix would happen in the future.
Yeah, it's like they predicted it.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 0 being idiot and 10 being savant, where do you have Phil Sams?
Oh, I knew that question was coming. He's like a solid 2. I don't know why that's funny. That's just true.
Poor guy. Is there like a Twitch chat modifier?
Phil Sams, man, is a dink.
I should probably go out and apologize to Phil Sams right now before he hears this. A preemptive apology.
A preemptive, like, oh, dude, you're gonna just, dude, don't listen to the A-team.
I'm sorry, but dude, I'm sorry.
Dude. I don't know, I think me laughing like crazy is worse, so I'm gonna have to apologize to my coach.
He's your coach?
Coach in caps all the time. It started a long time ago, but
what happened to us?
He's not actually my coach.
Oh my god, this is not the P Sams episode.
Yeah, it's not. Okay,
I'd love to talk about Phil.
This is not great for him.
I've been looking for a medium to air my grievances.
Like, oh man, scumbag stories. We haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah,
tell us Phil Sams' scumbag story.
Phil Sams is a good person.
Oh.
He's a good guy.
Nobody thinks that.
I almost feel like I should... No, I won't.
You will.
No, I...
You'll not... do it.
Wanted to tell a story time about Phil Sams in Boston, but maybe that's for another podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, he's already asking what I'm apologizing for.
Oh. Say, I'm apologizing for the Boston story.
Just say Boston story. Gauge it out. See how he feels about it.
Yeah, see what he says.
If he's like, oh, yeah, no worries, then you know you can go ahead.
Yeah. But if he's like, yeah, my God, man.
Like, you know how they say it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission? Well, yeah, this is kind of like gaming the system. You're asking for forgiveness as permission.
There's no forgiveness where Phil is concerned. That would be the end of us.
Really?
It might be. Well, I'll have to ask permission. And next time.
That's low, Phil Sand. That's low.
Oh, man. All right, then. Thanks for coming on the show. And I will get you back on before you know it.
So, all right, we'll schedule the Phil Sand story for then.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Tune in
thanks.
Next week.
For episode fuck of Magic Melange.
Okay, now we're back to episode fuck.
Episode fuck.
Jay, what have you been doing this past week?
I have been playing Shadow of Mordor a lot and working on the house. So I know you guys want to hear about that. We played some normal magic. we didn't play any Boo, and we didn't play any... Well, we did play Commander Cube, and then we played normal Cube, like regular old boring Cube. And it was fun. I drafted Mono White, draw all your lands, and play no magic until 4 in the morning. That was a fun deck. Sweet. That was definitely an episode fuck deck.
I can't... I'm just imagining Kyle just like... He's, you know, when he is about to type the episode title, and he's like, can I?
Yeah, like, what's this one going to be called? Like, episode 252, beer goggles or something. Like, no one...
Episode 252, Avery, you can only listen to the first 3 minutes of this.
Yes. And also the part about bombs. And Al-Qaeda.
Bombs and Al-Qaeda?
Bombs and Al-Qaeda. We found it in an episode.
Bombs and Al-Qaeda.
Ding dong.
This is really weird now.
Yeah. So anyways, so that wasn't super fun. Regular Cube is fine. We've decided that we're going to make, for Commander Cube, I was talking about making like a goodie pack or something. I think people might recall that.
Oh, yes, and yes, 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 where right, it's like...
It was so that you could have, like draft...
Here's
like,
all the cards if you draft red that you can have.
Yeah, that, like, wouldn't go into a regular cube, like Bad Goblins or something, right? So we're still going to do that, but now what we've decided is we're going to make those cards ourselves in a Boo set. So we're going to make, like, say, 200 cards that are, like, all custom cards for this Commander Cube, but we're going to make them ourselves instead of having to, like, find, like, you know, Goblin...
Goblin Functional Reprint?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That would be a good name. Goblin Functional Reprint.
And what we're going to try to do is we're going to use all the words of magic cards that people say wrong. Like Progenitus, and Omniscience, and Gurniak, and Galruk. So... You know, I want to try to figure out like a forced fruit station. Somebody actually asked for that at the Magic
Forest. Forced fruit station?
They're like, do you guys have any forced fruit stations?
And, does Cody Crosman still work there?
No, he doesn't. He hasn't worked there for a long time.
Oh, geez, okay.
But you know, like, what would that do as a magic card? So that's our next project. That's the next magical content you're gonna get from me. You? What did you do, KYT? You sucked at a Pro Tour or something, or a GP. A gyps.
A gyps.
Oh, here's something that's actually like a real thing that I would like to ask. So, I know that there's people out there that know how to make those, or how to get those fake Chinese magic cards. So, if I wanted some of those, where would I go to get
down
them?
There and slap you in the face.
Well, no, I'm not going to use them for any reason other than fucking making
my... Supporting people making fake magic cards.
Yeah. So it's like when you buy a fake Prada bag. No one gives a shit. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man.
I want to make my fake Commander magic cards with, like, some fucking...
Okay, if you want to make your own proxies or make your own fake cards that are not actual magic cards...
Yeah, I'm not going to buy, like, some fucking volcanic islands that look like shit and then, like, play with those in my cube. That's stupid. I'm talking about, like, if I want to make, like, Gurniak or Progenitis.
Yeah, like you want to print your own cards. You want to print blue cards.
Yeah, I don't want like a black and white photocopied fucking card that in a basic land with Sharpie.
Yeah, no, you can do that at like any like actual go to a real print shop, like not
that costs a lot of money.
Oh, come on.
I want Chinese fake magic cards because they're cheap. It's got to be a cheap alternative to this.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can find a place where it's just like, print this out on cardstock.
Yeah, but I don't want cardstock. I want magic cardstock. I don't want like a weird business card that has a magic card on it. I don't want square corners. I don't want a Dominion card. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they look and feel weird. Like when you are playing magic with business, like
so. Can you talk to like Proxy Guy and like can't he like tell you the tricks?
Yeah, but Proxy Guy will either tell me to make them myself or he will charge me a fair and reasonable collateral price. Like obviously you can't sell proxies, but he'll like trade me a proxy. But the problem with that is like so. For example, I inquired earlier. I think I talked about this on the show. I inquired earlier with him about like what if you made my cube a proxy cube because I'm kind of worried about bringing it to like. Fucking GPs and stuff because it's worth so much money. And he was like, sure, but the amount of work that goes into that would just cost like infinity fucking dollars in like service or collateral or however you're going to do it. And I was like, oh, well, then that's not really worth it. If my proxy cube is worth 5,000 collateral dollars to me, then I'm not going to be happy about losing those cards either.
Yeah, so
I want like 10 cent fucking Chinese, like if someone steals it or rips it off or if fucking a beer gets dunked on it, like I want cards that are fucking, that I don't care about, but I also don't want to play with cards that are, like, too small, or, you know what I mean? Like a playing card. If it was made on, like, playing cards, like that fucking...
Yeah!
Like, that'd be fine!
You can do that at a regular print shop, buddy.
But it costs money. I don't want to pay real money. You're not listening.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to pay a cent. I want to pay some Cambodian child with tiny little claw hands to paint it with a paintbrush. I don't want to pay fucking some student $85 to make fucking garbage magic cards that don't exist for a fake format that no one's gonna play. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, man. I don't know if that business exists. I hope it does for you.
There's Chinese fake magic cards. It exists.
Absolutely, but those people are selling them for the price of real cards. That's why that business exists. No,
that can't
be true.
People are buying fake volcanic islands for the full price.
Not for the full price, but they're paying not fucking 5 cents for them. Oh. They're paying a price that they think is the full price at a discounted rate. Like, oh, this $300 card, I can get it for $200. That's a steal.
Oh, I didn't know
it's,
that.
It's a counterfeit. Oh, well, fuck me. I thought I was getting a good deal. Instead, someone just got a good deal out of me.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
good. Yeah, but you can find print shops that can do that. Like, yes, is it going to be expensive? But it's not going to be stupid expensive. It'll be expensive. But yeah, you're looking probably somewhere around $50, depending on what cards you need. You don't need to do all of them.
Then fuck that shit.
Yeah, if you need to print off a boost set, like, it's out there, and you can even get the stuff to do it yourself.
Yeah, but I don't want that. You're not listening.
You don't want that at all.
No.
No. There's got to be someone who's going to the university that can get, like, you just supply paper, go buy paper.
Oh, I'm sure that exists, actually.
And then they print it all off, and then you have to cut it and do all that shit, but you're not spending money.
I don't want that. I'm already doing that right now. I already do that with regular paper.
Yeah, but don't do it with regular paper. Do it with good paper.
Yeah, but that just is more work for the same shitty product.
No, man, you can get good product doing it that way.
No, I think that.
Yeah, it's true. Done it myself. No.
Somebody
speaking
on the
from experience,
weigh in on this because it sounds like Jeremy is just—he's trying to sell me ice, and I'm an Eskimo. You know?
Done it myself. Good product.
Yeah.
Used to work in a print shop. Did it myself. Not bad. Is good. Actual good. Didn't have the proper corner, so it came out looking alpha. But that was still kind of. Yeah, and you can tell that in a fucking sleeve.
That was entertaining.
Not listening. Typical judge. Not listening.
Typical judge. Not listening to yourself. Want Cambodian child to hand paint magic cards. Not being a fucking prick.
For cheap.
I don't want this kid to be able to fucking eat. I just want him to be able to
Well, stuff costs less in Cambodia. It's not like he needs minimum Canadian wage. He doesn't live in Canada. You know?
Oh, my.
That's real. That's a real thing.
That is a real thing. That's true.
So, what else we got on episode of the 8?
This reminded me of one of my social media posts today that it was Pete Pablo's idea, because we had just at GP Quebec City, Face actually got their hands on an Alpha Black Lotus, and Peter thought it'd be a neat idea to post a picture of me holding it and announce that it was for sale. And we got a lot of people, Jay, that were freaking out because I was holding the Black Lotus without a sleeve.
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, do you think you have like filthy noodle hands or something? Or
why are your hands so filthy?
Yeah.
Oh man, but they're not filthy. But yeah, people were like, there were some strong emotions from some people. Put it in a fucking sleeve, dude. Like on Twitter and stuff. But hey. I blame the Peter. That's I just did what I was told.
Oh, man. Speaking of doing what you're told, how great is that picture of you with the Red Bull?
Oh, fuck you.
I didn't see that one.
It's my phone background. It's so good. It's so good. So Jeremy, I took a page out of your book, and I ordered some cards from Fossapos. And then in the comments, I said, like, please send me a picture of KYT looking like a goof with my order. But don't let him know he's going to be getting a picture taken looking like a goof. Because I wanted it to be like natural, like natural goofiness. Not like, hey, KYT, take a funny picture for your friend Jay. Like, that's stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, I didn't even think that was the request. I thought it was to tickle me.
Oh, no. That's weird.
Yeah, he was referring to it as the tickle picture.
Oh, nope. So then I was, like, in my head, what I was thinking is, like, hey, KYT, like, a customer wants a picture, and then they would take a picture of you, and then they would, like, I don't know, like edit it to look like you're picking your nose, or they would, like, put bunny ears on you or something like that. But then, I don't know who that guy was, but then he tickled you?
That guy is actually Sal's son, Steven.
Sal's son, Steven. Well, Steve,
yeah.
You're a jerk.
I'm just standing there, like, you know, just standing there, he runs behind me, tickles me as Petey Pablo takes the picture. So,
yeah, it was.
Did I mention that last episode, Jared, when Jay wasn't on?
Yes,
had I mentioned? Yeah, how you did the kick me sign, Jay? I thought it was like the request was just to surprise me, tickle me to death, and take a picture of me because I'm gonna obviously look like an idiot on it, and Kyle was just like, get a big hug, except like Steven was basically giving me some sort of crazy hug / headlock in that picture. So
yeah, so that's a new trend. Anytime you order something from Face to Face, you gotta humiliate.
Oh people. God,
yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah,
that's if you order from Face to Face and you don't put in something to torment KYT, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you don't get your orders. Hey,
it could be just a hug. A hug is a handshake.
Yeah, but
anything.
A hug and then like a picture with a butt grab or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But how do we get... Oh, yeah. We got on this because of... Speaking of pictures, that's how we got derailed here. They
do
go that extra mile.
Yeah.
I've been the victim of these two guys requesting things that to prank me with, so it's, you know, it's not like you guys work at a card store where I
That's
can do
right.
that to prank back.
You're gonna have to get more creative.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, for what I did, to answer your question, I just went 3-3 at the GP on Saturday and started 3-0 in the Super Series, but then went down the Flames again, losing 3 in a row before winning my last one. And for 4-3, There were prizes for top 32, and I obviously finished 33rd to cap a feel-bad GP. But my deck, I thought it had some powerful things going for it. No matter what, the Abzan base is still strong in Anafenza and Siege Rhino. But like I mentioned to Dan, I felt like Gideon is probably overrated in the Abzan aggro shell just because of how horribly positioned it is against certain decks in the format, especially the most popular or most powerful deck in Dark Jeskai. And, you know, you don't really want to tap up for four against a Tarka Red right now, or the Landfall version. I don't know if it's a deck you'd enjoy to play, Jay, where people are just or become immense and teamer battle rage. Like, that type of fragile looking combo is actually considered a tier one, or at least a tier 1.5 deck.
Yeah, I think I've seen that, but like, it's still expensive, right?
It is not.
Well, how much is
it? I don't think. Right, Jared? I think, like, there's no expensive cards. Like, as long as you have, like, the Atarka, like, the Landfall deck.
No, the Atarka deck's pretty cheap, actually.
You just need Atarka's Command as the rares, and I imagine maybe Abbot of Curkeep is, like, the most expensive card in that deck.
Isn't that, like, $20?
No, is it? I don't think so.
Oh, maybe that's the foil.
See. Yeah, let me see here. Gem Protector?
Oh, Den Protectors. Okay, Den Protector is expensive right now, so that would give you trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, like, Den Protector is, like, what, $15? Somewhere around there? $15-$16?
Yeah, possibly more, because, like, almost every green deck wants it, and
you could probably get by without playing Den Protector.
Right, you can play the version that PV played at the top. He went more, he played more token producers. Over the Landfall plan. The Landfall plan, you need the Den Protectors, but not the other version. I think Hain was playing the other version. He finished 10th at the GP. When I tested it, all the versions, I felt they were piles of shit, and they can't. And they have a terrible matchup against Dark Jeskai, because they have all these cheap removal spells, where it'd be Fury Impulse or Wild Slash, and then post sideboard, when they bring in Arishin Cleric.
Yeah.
The synergy with Ojutai's Command, like, it dies the game four, bring that shit back to block again. It's just too huge. The swing is too huge. It allows them to push to that late game, and they have a way stronger late game. So having a bad matchup against the deck that just won the GP seems terrible.
Yeah, not to mention it's just like your combo of doing like a Become Immense or whatever that you're going to be firing off the battle rage at just immediately dies to what is that card called? The reason to splash black in the first place.
Crackling Doom
kills everything. Like that's the card that really makes that Jeskai Black deck, because Crackling Doom just answers all their problems.
Right, right. And they have other answers as well, like Jeskai Charm, like they could just charm the guy you're become immensing. So they have a lot of interactive answers.
Does Jeskai Charm still see play?
Yeah. Varying copies, whether it be one to three, even in Dark Jeskai.
Really?
It does see play. Because it's like one of the few answers to, like, one of the best answers to, let's say, resetting a Hangar Back Walker if they need to, or maybe even bouncing a Gideon. I don't know. It just has some fair amount of utility. And it does see, like, I think Dan had one maybe in his GP winning list.
Hmm.
But it is surprising that like a combo that just seems like so, like a deck that I would never recommend anyone playing, basically. Like some casual guys, like, yeah, Team of Battle Rage, become immense, like living the dream. But a lot of people think it's tier one or tier 1.5, and a lot of people were playing it, and I think they preyed along on the deck du jour, to add some French.
Ooh, Magic Melange.
Sam Black's tokens deck, basically, and I think it preys on that because you block with the tokens, like, become immense, Team of Battle Rage. Because in terms of instant speed removal, you're looking at only two copies of Stasis Snare from the from the Sand Black deck, or they play like two random copies of Dispel that you're hoping to, you know, have blue open for to stop it, but that's not going to come up that often. So, like my friend Xavier, he started off maybe 5-0, was very impressive. Then failed to make day two, and two of those losses, at least two of those losses, were to Atarka Red Landfall. So I think that's probably a tough matchup for it, given what I've seen. So, but moving forward, there's like a regional PTQ that I'm not qualified for this weekend, but on Sunday...
You're not qualified for the RPTQ?
No, I took it really easy for the past couple of months. Huh? I didn't play any PPTQs, and I do still plan to take it fairly lax. I mean, you know, people have been tweeting me, trying to motivate me. It's like, when are you gonna, you know, win a Pro Tour or top 8-1? But you know, I've been really content that I've made the Pro Tour twice, because I set it as such a high goal, and usually it takes me. It takes me a lot of losing to remotivate myself. And I mean, I kind of felt it coming back, like the competitive fire after I just bombed both events. So maybe. And this Sunday, I might play the PPTQ at face-to-face games. And if I do play Absent Aggro, you're going to be looking at a deck list that includes the minimal amounts of Hangar Backwalkers and Gideons that I think are necessary. And definitely going full throttle on the Windmate Rocks, which I think is just the best card in the mirror and is the best card against Jeskai. And it's just a very good card because no one, barely anyone's playing Languish right now. And against a non-Languish field, Windmate Rock is just flat out one of the best cards in the format. So, or I'm just going to, you know, maybe we can figure out a Bring to Light deck, Jer. Like, I was thinking four Crackling Dooms, four Bring to Light. You know. Crackling Doom is that good right now, so there might be something there. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. Anything things going on with you guys?
I am working.
And nope.
And nope is the big thing, so... Yeah, I got work, so I'm going to try and jam some odd games Magic Online. I got to put together a standard deck. I have not done it yet. I was really looking at that blue-black Aristocrats deck. That looks like a lot of fun. I might try and even do like a Rally of the Ancestors list. What keeps me away from that, again, is just I don't want to be dumping the money on the Jaces right now. Like, I just...
I can't believe how expensive they are. It's just ridiculous.
That's all it really comes down to, is I really would like to, but I just can't justify it to myself. I don't know. Especially with me like trying to pick up what are those freaking lands, the expeditions and stuff like that. Like,
are those still falling?
No, they've pretty much landed.
Oh, okay.
They haven't really been moving at all in price, at least from what I've seen. I'm doing pretty good. Like eBay, I pick up a odd one here or there. I've kind of set like numbers in my head, and I've won a couple and missed out on a couple by a few bucks. But the other part is just like when you're buying like from the US, just the conversion rate is just terrible.
Terrible, yeah. It's like 70% or whatever. Yeah. Is that where we're at right now?
And then the other part is that like you'll get some people who will ship to Canada for $3, and then you'll get some people who will ship to Canada for $30.
Yeah.
So it's trying to keep track of like what the shipping costs are as well, and making sure that you don't snap bid on something that looks really cheap, but then realize that you're actually paying $10 more than something else because you got to pay $30 to ship it.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So, yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out this fucking Tapped Out site so that I can fucking post these decks for fucking James Nicholson.
Fucking Google it.
So much hate for a fan, man.
Who is this James Nicholson character?
He's a character, all right.
He's a caricature.
Oh. What are we doing for like the contest? Because people did their thing where they said, "Oh, this is the one."
Oh, wait a minute. Did you guys talk about the pizza last week? Who gets the pizza? It's for sure me, right?
Well, Mendoza thinks it's him, so someone has to...
He thinks it. Like, who won? Who crossed the line first? Like, well, you know, Jay won, but I...
Is it first past the post?
I don't know. Well, I don't know how you measure that. And the GP, that was an example. But
I'm so... What?
Who?
Okay.
But,
that's what I'm doing wrong. Okay.
Yeah, for sure I won. There's no way I didn't win, right?
Well, I don't know. He was pretty confident that he won.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, he's like, well, Jay got 26 points and I got 27, so I win.
Let me explain it to you, Jay. Here's how it works. All of us are too fucking lazy to add up the points.
Right.
But he isn't. Okay. So he thinks that maybe he won, maybe you won.
Maybe he won. He did the math and he thinks maybe he won.
No, I think he's sure that he's won. I think I'm going to double check.
Like a bunch of bullshit.
I'm going to double check because I'm the one who has to send the pizza. I think I lost. I'm not even sure.
If you don't have to send pizza, if I have to send pizza, I will be doing the math. I will be doing the pizza math.
Yeah,
and I will order whatever pizza I feel you deserve.
No, that's not fair. The winner.
Oh, buddy, 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 buddy!
Winner chooses.
That wasn't
like
disgusting.
A dog shit pizza.
There's
like,
no
congrats on your win.
Who would sell a dog shit pizza?
Well, I didn't say it had to be from like Pizza Hut. You could buy it from like KYT's begrudging pizza parlor, and then it's a dog shit pizza. Damn, that too.
I think that they would lose their business license, but they would only have to make one pizza. They would only have to make one pizza.
See? So you can't fuck us on the deal. Bunch of bullshit. Get my fucking Hawaiian double cheese pizza, and that's the end of it.
Fuck that.
Fuck
double
that?
Cheese. Double cheese. Who's got money for that? Jesus Christ. Trying to buy fucking expeditions here. Who's got money for double cheese?
Fucking double cheese. I'm getting double cheese. So.
All right. I think that wraps
all
it up.
Base bucks for that.
And that wraps up. That's
who
our show.
Won the fucking contest? We got.
I'm gonna figure it out later, man. I'm not gonna do it now.
Yeah,
fuck that.
Shit.
We have to do it now.
You can't announce the winner of a contest like fucking a year after the contest is over.
Like, are all the comments like from a top down?
What?
What was the rule? What was like? What did we say? Was it everybody who got it right got to do things, or?
No, I think it was like I thought we said like winner gets a pizza from the loser.
No, fuck that. I'm talking about the contest with the
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have
you know the shit I that mean, you weren't here for, Jay.
Oh, I was going to say, who the fuck cares about whatever you guys are talking about?
I mean, the content is going to figure that shit out, so.
We're actually the worst.
Yeah.
We are actually
this
the worst.
This is episode fuck, all right?
Episode fuck is actually the worst. What's going on? There's got to be something interesting. What happened to Magic? Did something interesting happen?
No.
No? Nothing?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear about anything interesting happening, so probably not.
You know things are bad when I'm going to MTG Salvation.
Oh my god, is that even still a website?
Yeah, I think so. Let me see. I'm on BoonieNet, so this is going to take a while.
KYT, okay. You better be doing math right now. That better be why you're so quiet.
Yeah. KYT math.
Oh, my fucking pizza. Hashtag pizza math.
Yeah. Hashtag single cheese.
Hashtag triple cheese. Hashtag
I don't even know who we picked. I don't even have it in front of me.
Oh, so I do have it. I have it.
Okay. Paste it in the Skype.
Paste it in the Skype? What the fuck? I'm like, do my own work to win my own contest? Yay. Hashtag salty bread.
Why is my team garbage?
Anfield, Finkel, Duke, and Ifro. Yeah.
Did Jamson look like just completely crap out again?
No way I lost.
Pro Tour most recent. Does that actually work?
I don't think so.
hey, top Google got me to battle for Zendikar winner. So yeah, that worked.
Wow.
Fuck me. Okay. So now I need to find. No, I don't care about that shit. Oh, I don't care about the top eight. I want the Sunday coverage. 9 points.
You got a total of 9 points.
No, I got a total of 9 points from Namsun Wook.
Ah.
Holy jeez. Holy shit, my team was just terrible. How is KYT worse than me?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
But I did all the calculations.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who won?
Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da!
So the results are, and based on the way that the A team, that like with other drafts that I've done with other people, we do pro points, but I think we do match points, total match points of our team.
Yeah. Yes, that's what we did.
And
we're going to change it for the next one.
Matt Mendoza has 123 points. Jay has 112. Second.
Whoa, second place, Boosh.
Jer has 86, and I have 83. And the reason that Jay lost, despite having Finkel, Manfield, and Duke doing pretty well with 33, 37, 33 points, the guy that cost him his pizza is Ifro, that only had 9 points on the weekend.
Like, wow, that's like Namsun Wook bad.
How does that
happen?
Fucking
and
KYT.
And all of Mendoza's guy made like day two with 33, 33, 30, and 27.
Jesus.
Me, despite picking one of the best guys, like the best guy in the whole pool in Owen Turnwall with 40,
Yuya. He semifinal?
No, he made top eight, and he lost in top eight against Paul Dean. But the fact that he made it all the way there gave him 40, but Yuya and Huey shat the bed. Yuya had 10 points, and Huey didn't win a single... Oh, well, he won a single match with 3 points.
That's probably a bye.
Yamamoto did well for me at 30, so yeah, I have to send the pizza. I think...
dog shit pizza it is. Double cheese.
Dog shit to Mendoza. But I think the strategy, at least if we do the same rules, the strategy is I just realized that you have to take low, like, I think the concept now is you have to take low-risk guys, basically, to not finish last.
Well, isn't that like, always what you're doing, though? Like, shouldn't you always be taking...
I think we should change it up. Like, I propose it after a show.
No one's picking, like, Bob Johnson to be the sleeper hit of the summer at the Pro Tour. You know what I mean?
I know, but I'm saying, like, some people, like, if we did a Pro Point system, some people you pick because there's specific people that can home run it, right? And then there's some people that are just consistently top 25 or top 50, but they're never going to top eight.
Do you want the slugger or do you want the guy who always gets on base?
It should be the slugger every time. Like, none of this fucking... I don't want this to turn into, like, some guy's fucking baseball pool where I have to analyze stats and be like, this guy has a 3-3-3 batting average against a left-handed pitcher on a Saturday. Fuck that.
Yeah, it's like, well, everybody knows that he plays better in his own time zone.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
So like, I was thinking it would be really cool if we did it where it's like all of our first-round picks were against each other, and all it was winning the category. So whoever had the best result from the first-round pick wins that round, and then do it that way so that you just slot players against players.
No, well, we could do that.
So it's like all the round one picks all play against each other, and whoever wins that wins round one. It doesn't matter if they blow the other guys out to pieces. It just, and then that kind of promotes sluggers because you just want to win all your categories.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
Well, it just sounds the same. If you're picking sluggers this way that we do it now, and you're picking sluggers your way.
What it means is that if Ifro shits the bed for you, Boosh, he doesn't drag down your whole fucking team.
Well.
You see what I'm saying?
Not really. I'm an idiot.
Okay. We'll just try it out.
Okay.
Let's just.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting.
I think it would be fun, and then you can do like a thematic pick also. Like you can say, and we have to have like an all Canadian round where it's like you can slot in a Canadian player. You know, you can do some fun things. You can pick some randos.
Yeah, we can do something more unique next time.
Yeah.
But end result is, I owe Mr. Mendoza pizza. That's the bottom line. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, we can't let some newbie.
Yeah.
Win.
Yeah, fuck that. That's garbage. Yeah.
Okay, garbage. So I think if someone goes to my Tapped Out account, it now lists a couple Garbo decks that I've talked about in the past.
Sweet.
So I don't know how to do this thing, but I've done this thing. So let me see. I'm going to copy this. I'm going to put it in the chat and you tell me if this is useful.
Yeah. It is. I think it's everything this gentleman wants.
Good.
From you.
Now you can fuck right off and keep listening to the show.
Fuck right off, but listen still.
Yeah, keep listening. It doesn't have the green-blue storm deck because for whatever reason I don't have that on my account right now. So I'll have to go into the old Skype combo and see where we were at with the list.
All right, then.
Yes.
That's all for episode fuck.
And with that, that is episode 252 F-U-C-K.
Thank you for joining us on PEC.
Ding, ding. I love you all.
Fuck.